Good morning, everyone. Welcome to ICF Rome online. And for those who will eventually be on campus, this is Pastor Jennifer Pasquale. And I'm excited for this season that is upon us. You know, we're celebrating Jesus. We're thankful for everything that he's done for your life, even if you don't know it yet. So as you enter into this service today, I encourage you to lean into the worship, to stand up if you can and raise your hands and praise the Lord, because God is faithful. He has a word for you today. I am believing for a miracle in your life. It's in motion. You joined us online today, and God has ordered your steps. God has a word for you. And as you lean into his presence, I know that your heart and your mind is going to be lifted, healed, restored, rejuvenated. I'm so thankful that you are joining with us today.
Welcome, everybody. Hello. Buongiorno. Look at somebody and say, you're looking good today. Yes. You can sit for just a minute, but then you're going to stand back up. I know you are. I am so excited to have long-time friends, Dr. Bonnie Jenkins and her husband, Pastor Doug Jenkins. Would you stand and let everyone see you, please? Thank you so much. She serves as an executive director at the Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri, and Pastor Doug does all kind of very important things with lots of very important people that I don't know everything, but they have been leading this group called Heart Song for many years. Some of you know my daughter Erica. She was at the other university in Springfield. There was two, but she would call her Mama Jay and say, can I please go with your group to wherever you're going? And so I want you to know what I have loved watching. When you know somebody for a long time and you see their ministry over a number of years, come on, you begin to see that the fruit is faithful, right? Faithfulness is the fruit. And so, Bonnie, thank you for the way you impact the next generation with the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit and the way you both do it together. So I'm introducing them now, and then I'll come back and tell you a little bit of something about the offering. But when it's time for offering, if you're in our family here, you bring your offering like we always do. We want to celebrate together. Amen. I also want to give you a couple quick announcements. So the first one, very, very important. Sally, come on up, and somebody's going to hand you a mic, or maybe it's this microphone. Everybody say, next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Say it again, next Sunday.
March 17th.
We do not have church on Sunday morning because the Rome Marathon is shutting down all the city for people to run all over the place. So the buses and everything. So next Sunday, service will be at 6 p.m. Say 6 p.m. Next Sunday, 6 p.m. Please, if you come early and you somehow get here, enjoy your coffee outside because the doors will be locked, okay? Pastor Rick and I tried one time because he was like, we're not changing church. And we got to church 2 hours late. And after that, he said, we're changing the time on Marathon Day. So next Sunday, don't forget. And because of that, the women's launch that was scheduled for next Sunday is now going to be on the next Sunday, March 24th. So Sally, take that microphone right there. And Sally is one of our co-coordinators for Inspire. So why should women come to Inspire?
It is an invitation. It is an invitation to come together, to lean into God's love, to renew our love for Him, and to receive His word, and to be in fellowship with other women. There will be women from all backgrounds, all nationalities, all languages, and it's really an invitation, Pastor Jen.
And it's not just an invitation for us, but it's an opportunity for us to have an invitation, a reason to invite someone.
Absolutely. Everyone in this room has a circle of influence, whether it's in your work, social media, wherever you run around, you have that circle of influence. And so I'm holding, this is how passionate I am about Inspire. I'm holding 40 tickets. These tickets have no names.
Well, now you're holding 39.
You're holding 39.
So, is anybody here? You know you're in Rome on April 19th and 20th. Stand up fast. Okay, Linda, you get the first free ticket. So you write your name down later so they know you got it, okay? And yes. The rest today.
And I'm going to do the following. I'm going to go off script. And whoever purchases a ticket today, I will put half of the ticket.
Ooh.
So it's $50 if you buy it today for $25. But here's the thing. This ticket has to go to someone in your circle of influence. God already knows the names on these tickets. I don't know who's going to show up, but I can tell you, I've already attended two Inspire conferences, and some of my dearest friends God handpicked from Inspire.
Yeah.
So I want for someone to receive the invitation that I received. So if you buy this ticket today, I'm going to have you sign up. Hope, stand up, Hope.
Woo-hoo.
Hope is going to be at the Welcome Center. It's super important that we have the names of everyone, because I want to specifically pray for each one of us. All of us will pray for each one of the women that are going to come in advance, but we need to know their names.
Amen.
So even if it's your name, I know that eventually it'll have a new owner.
Absolutely. Yes. And you need to plan for that luncheon on the 24th. Thank you so much, Sally. I'll take this for you. I want you to know that this is one of those things. You know, we say touching one, touching Italy, reaching nations. This is an opportunity to touch Italy. We have a 45 voice choir coming from Napoli to sing on Saturday at Inspire Italy. Ladies, you don't want to miss it. Your friends don't want to miss it. It's worth the investment to pour back into your life what God is doing. So will you?
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you would open up your Bibles with me to John 11 this morning. I'd like to introduce myself before we start. My name is JJ. I have the tremendous honor of being here this morning in front of you, preaching the word. Once again, John 11. Today we're going to be talking about the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I think it's pretty timely, especially since now we're moving into count on his power. Correct. And let's go ahead and start. It says, verse 1, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling them, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. I want you to notice something first off. First thing is, Jesus did not respond immediately. Jesus didn't say, oh, I hear somebody sick. Let's go ahead and move back to where they are. You know, I can heal him. I can raise him from the dead. No. In fact, he deliberately waited 2 more days. And so he was able to do this because God has the power. He has the power to say, okay, whatever is going on here, we can wait. Because no matter what, God's going to be glorified through that. You see, the Lord's timing is perfect. And that's something that we need to reflect on, because sometimes we fall into expecting God to do things when we want them done. We have to drop that. And so what we notice here is that God did not reject the request. Jesus did not say, no, I'm just not going to at all. No. He said, okay, well, I understand what's going on, but God's got this. Sometimes we need to say that. God's got this. Do not lose faith in the fact that God is telling us to wait. Do not lose faith on the fact that we think that he is rejecting our requests, because God's delays are just him gearing up for displaying his glory. Sometimes we need to know that. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but he meant he had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't here. What? For now you will really believe. Come on, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had to come and console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will do whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everybody else rises at that last day. And so Martha was not confident that Jesus would raise Lazarus in that moment. She knew the promise that was to come, but she didn't understand that God could do what he could do. But she still trusted Jesus despite the disappointment. The question we have to ask ourselves is, will I keep my faith when things don't go the way that I want them to? Because yes, in our life, we have sickness, death, cancer, things that happen. We pray so hard, God, heal. And it just doesn't work out the way that we think it does or we expect it to. And so many people turn away from their faith because they say, God didn't do what I wanted in my timing. He didn't heal. I'm done. Really? Is that what we're to do? We need to ask ourselves, will we keep our faith when things don't go the way that we want them to? Verse 25, Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she said to him. I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary, called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he kept him from dying? And Jesus was still angry as he arrived to the tomb. A cave with a stone rolls across the entrance. I think this is the perfect passage where Jesus displays that he is both 100% God and 100% man. There's a few things to note. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I have resurrection and I have life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? That means if we are with Christ, if we have Christ, we have that promise to say, okay, I may die one day, but eventually I will rise up with him. We have that promise. And I get it. Sometimes we question that. Oh, God, do you hear me? God, do you see me crying? Do you hear my emotion? God wept. Really? He sees us in our grief. And then he was angry, not because of who was around him. Scholars say that he was angry because he was frustrated with the concept of death. God has come to give you life. Jesus has come to give you life. So when he was in that moment, he didn't say, okay, well, I can be satisfied now because I am the resurrection and the life. No, he still had that standing with you. We don't like death. That's a hard concept for us to grasp. But we have Jesus. We have a God who we can look to and say, God, feel this with me. And he does. Right by our side. Verse 39, roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me." Even Jesus is saying that. "But I said it out loud for the sake of all of these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Would you stand with me this morning? Everybody has situations. Everybody has different things that they're struggling with. You may be one of a few people this morning. You might be in the waiting of your process. You're going through it. You're struggling. You have no idea what to do. You might be doubting your faith. You might be doubting God, saying, "God, I don't know if I can keep being a Christian. If I can believe you if this doesn't happen." You can also be the person that says, "I'm going to stick with Jesus when things don't go the way that I want them to." And you can assume the likelihood of Jesus in his resurrection and being the life. Sometimes we need to just say, "God's got this," which is easier said than done. But God, we were bound in our sin and our death from the beginning. And Jesus said, "But God, but watch this." And so one thing that we need to grasp from this, when Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" He didn't just mean you'll see Lazarus raised from the dead. What we have to see here is that later on, when people started telling others about Lazarus being raised, they were plotting immediately after that to kill Jesus. What Mary and Martha and Lazarus didn't realize is that God wasn't just setting up the raising of Lazarus. He was setting up the point where, okay, now it's time to go die for everybody and see God raise Jesus. That far in advance. So God's timing is perfect. His vision is perfect. And whatever you're going through in the moment right now, you have no idea what's going on. You don't think you can see the end of the tunnel. God sees way in front of you. Would you put your faith in the one who can see way in front of you? The one who goes before you, guides your path, and has the power despite sickness and death. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father God, thank you for this time we get to spend in your presence. Lord, I pray for healing this morning. I pray for comfort, for peace. Lord, that whatever's going on in our lives this morning, that you would be with us. Lord, that you would be acquainted with our grief this morning. That you would stand by us, be our comforter and our strength. Lord, that we would pray prayers of faith and healing and declaration. But when things don't go our way, Lord, that we would stand even closer to you. Lord, would you cover us? Would we continue to praise your name when things don't go our way? And would we have faith that you are the one that has the power? And you are the only one that has that power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. The Lord is faithful to his children. As you have listened to the message today, I pray that you hear the Lord saying, "I know you. I've called you by name, and I'm working on your behalf. I invite you right now to say this prayer with me, to make Jesus Lord over all. Maybe there's something in your life today that has caused you turmoil, that has put questions or doubts in your mind. You know, the Bible says he's as close as the mention of his name. In this season, we celebrate Jesus, the name that's above every other name. So pray this prayer with me right now and ask Jesus to help you. He's with you. You are not alone. I want to say it again. You are not alone. So Father, we thank you right now. I'm going to pray this prayer and you're going to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, you say it. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life, to take over every concern I have. Forgive me for those moments when I have doubted or don't trust. Be the Lord over all. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I say yes to you. I'm all yours from this moment forward by the power of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have said this prayer, send me an email, write us, join us on campus when you get to Rome, because I know that God has something for you, and I know that you need to know you're not going to do life alone. I also feel very impressed today as I pray for you for the needs in your life. I know that during the winter months, there's lots of different emotions that come about, and I want you to know today the Lord is with you, the Lord is for you. He said his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today, I want to pray for your miracle. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would heal the broken heart, that you would restore the wounded mind, that you would be Jehovah Jireh for the one who has needs financially. God, you have shown us this year that we are the living proof that God is at work in us and through us. So right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, across the airwaves, wherever you're watching from, I am praying right now for your miracle in motion. I want you to say, I believe. I believe that God is with you. I believe that God is for you. And I believe that he has brought you to this family of faith, not only online, but wherever you are, that you would know. I have people who write me, and I'm praying right now that you'll be one of those ones who said, I found new hope, new life, new purpose, as I join together in prayer with Pastor Jen and all of those at ICF Rome. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your online giving. I thank you that you are sowing seeds. You are sowing gratefulness to God for all that he's done and doing. This has been an amazing year of Living Proof. And today, as we think about, we're getting ready to go into a new year before we know it, I want you to know God is with you. God is for you. You're not alone. Your miracle is in motion. I love you. We love you. And most importantly, Jesus loves you. So go out there, walk for him, shine for him, and believe that he's got a miracle for you.